From the Embassy of France in the United States, this is Frank Files, a podcast where we explore the unique relationship between France and the U.S. My name is Andrea, and I will be your host. Based in California, Villa San Francisco is a French-founded international space for dialogue between artists, community, and anyone that is seeking to connect innovative ideas to solutions that respond to global or local challenges. Today, we're speaking with Melanie Delian-Flint, who is a founding member and an integral part of this newly launched Franco-American project. Thank you, Melanie, for joining us. It's really nice to have you here.
Thank you, Andrea, for having me.
So Melanie, it sounds like an incredible organization to be a part of, especially during a time now where we're all looking for creative solutions to collaborate and create community. What makes San Francisco Villa so different from other entrepreneurial spaces and artist residencies?
Sure. I would say that the Villa San Francisco is born from a conviction shared by the French Consul in San Francisco, the French American Cultural Society, and the cultural services of the French Embassy that you're representing. And that conviction is that the Silicon Valley is, of course, as we all know, the heart of the worldwide innovation, but it's also at the roots of social changes. And while we are facing great challenges. Definitely, we are affected by gentrification, social inequalities, and of course, the raging fires that we're facing in California that kind of put us, at the forefront of climate change. Well, while we're facing all those great challenges, the Silicon Valley always managed to reinvent itself. And it's also populated by some of the greatest minds in the world. So for us, it was urgent to create a new platform to reunite those minds, those great people, and to transcend disciplines and think outside of our city's walls and borders. So this conviction translated into the creation of our artist residency that you introduce, which is one aspect of the Villa San Francisco, an artist residency that is kind of like next generation because it is turned towards the future. And we invite artists to come here in the Silicon Valley and question our society's greatest challenges and also to integrate and blend within the Silicon Valley's ecosystem by creating exchanges and collaboration, not only with their peers, with other artists, but also with scientists, entrepreneurs, and scholars. I would also say that we are a little bit different because of the structure itself of the Villa San Francisco. We kind of designed it as a cultural startup, if you will. It is financed by private funds in partnership with public institutions, and this dual management is reflected in its board of directors, for example. Basically, the Villa San Francisco is kind of the result of a marriage between the French cultural diplomatic efficiency in the world and the Silicon Valley's famous agility, if you will, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And from what I've read, so the Villa San Francisco is also part of a larger network. So it's the Villa Network, I believe.
Yep.
And you have some around the world. And Villa San Francisco is the first one in the U.S., correct?
Correct. You totally got it right. So throughout its history, France has developed a strong tradition of artist residency and recognized basically the important and unique role of artists within our societies. The Villa San Francisco was inspired by the Villa Medici, which is the French Art Academy in Rome. And it was created by King Louis XIV. So as you can see, it goes way back, who used to send his favorite painters to Rome to study Renaissance artists like Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo. I would say they would stay about 6 years over there, and then eventually they would come back to Paris and do things like Versailles. So this tradition is still very much alive today. In addition to the Villa Medici, we have the Villa in Spain, Japan, New Zealand, Tunisia, Vietnam, and now for the first time in the United States, we have the Villa San Francisco. The original concept of those artist residency was to kind of provide a safe space for artists to create without having to think about, you know, necessities of life, like paying rent, for example. The Villa San Francisco is a bit different in a sense that it acts and lives beyond its physical walls and spread to the city. We kind of say that the Villa would not exist without its numerous partners. We partner with the universities of Stanford and Berkeley, the public library, Radio KQED, the Museum SF MoMA, and other corporations as well. So I would say the Villa is kind of existing at the crossroad of this institutional, corporate, artistic, and scientific partnership. We basically are asking the artists to get out, to explore, and to confront themselves with this new territory and participate actively to the conversation that's happening.
Absolutely. And I wonder, for those who aren't familiar with like the purpose of residency programs, could you explain why they exist and why they're important for artists and collaboration? Obviously, you know, you've explained from the side of Villa San Francisco what it's providing for the artists, but I want to know a little bit of, you know, why is that such an important step for artists?
Sure. I think it's, you know, and if you look at the history for the Villa Medici, for example, for there was the Prize of Rome, and every artist was dreaming to get the Prize of Rome and go to Rome. So I think today it's like same thing. It's a great opportunity for artists to take a break from their daily life and to concentrate on their creation. But I think in this moment and in this next generation situation of artist residency, it's also how the territory and how the Bay Area here is going to benefit from the artist's venue. So it's, for me, it's also an exchange, because those institutions, the local institution, can also benefit from this different perspective that artists are bringing to the table. So for me, it's really a win-win situation. It's not only the artist benefiting, but it's also the territory and the local communities benefiting from their venue.
Mm-hmm. And what are the artists like? I mean, I'm very curious about the culture of the Villa. I mean, what does it look like on the inside? You and your role, are you just surrounded by good ideas all the time?
Well, you know, I think the artists are very, and we are as well, very excited, especially within, you know, the coronavirus context. It's been a tough year. You know, museums are closed, galleries are closed. So it's been difficult. So first of all, I think they love the space we created for them. Not only wanted to give the Villa a strong and unique identity, but we also wanted to create a place designed by artists for other artists to come. So we partner with a local designer, Amir Mortazavi, and we imagined a dialogue between French and Californian artists. So as a result, we are super lucky to have art pieces by artists like Agnès Varda, for example, a very famous French filmmaker. She did film the Black Panthers back in the day in Oakland. So we have that to look at. We have also pieces from JR, who created the Chronicle of San Francisco mural at the SF MoMA last year. We have art from Nathalie Dupasquier, who did the bedroom wallpaper. We also have local artists like Jane Nelson, who did the light fixtures in the place. We have Yves Béat, a famous designer, who did some furniture. So as you can see, we had like lots of, you know, input. And as a result, the apartment is like very colorful. It's also very much inspired by the palette, the pastel palette of Wayne Thiebaud, who was a Bay Area figurative artist from the 50s. And there is also a little nod to the Buren column from the Palais Royal in Paris. So it's a very interesting mix of, you know, French-American influences. But one of the situations was that we were supposed to, you know, to launch and have a first wave of artists coming from France. And as you know, with the situation, the borders are closed. So we could not welcome the French artists right away. So we decided to adapt and be agile. And we decided to create micro residencies and invited local engaged artists to come inaugurate and experience, you know, the Villa firsthand for themselves. So we had already a bunch of local artists who came. We had Cheryl Dericott, who worked with paper and glass and is interested in questions around slavery and Jefferson. We had people like Alex and Mushi, who are conceptual artists and performers, who are interested in the dialogue between bodies. We had Emily Trice, who is a feminist filmmaker interested in climate change and VR. And what was really, really cool with those first artists was that they really make the Villa San Francisco their own. Some of them even exhibited in front of the villa on the street, right in front of us, meeting with people from the neighborhood, creating kind of an unexpected street museum. They also participated in many online panels and interviews. So yes, it's boiling, and I have to say it feels good.
Yeah, no, I can tell. I mean, if anything, these ideas are coming together and figuring out ways to portray art and connect with community. I mean, I really like the sound of a street museum.
Oh, yes.
You know, everyone has gone virtual at this point. And I wanted to know, with the Villa, do you feel like there are more opportunities now to collaborate with artists and innovators, not just locally, but also all over the world?
Sure. I would say that another aspect of the Villa San Francisco is its ambition to influence. First, the Villa will host events all year round, small and large, like the Night of Ideas, which is kind of like a 7-hour debate and performance marathon that was joined by over 5,000 people last year around the theme being alive. We had 70 international speakers and artists coming, and it was a tremendous success. So this is, you know, a great way for, you know, artists and speakers to meet with local communities and debate. I think also the Villa wants to focus on its what we call outputs. We want to create benchmarks to invite and empower public and private leaders and institutions to adopt new practices or policies. I think we also want to share our findings and everything we're learning and share with our content with everyone and to be accessible. So most of the things are free. We also have eMag, an online magazine where, you know, we share things we learn. So now talking about, you know, current project that we are very excited about, we just announced our first publication and first documentary a couple of weeks ago. It's called Oakland Saint-Denis, Translating Cities and Cultures. This book is kind of the result of two learning expeditions between two cities with similar assets, challenges, and opportunities. We have Saint-Denis in Paris, on the outskirts of Paris, and we have Oakland on the outskirts of San Francisco. We invited a group of artists, urban planners, entrepreneurs, elected officials, and researchers to examine the process of city making and how to best build the cities of tomorrow. So basically, we invited the French in Oakland, and the American went to Saint-Denis for a week. And this book kind of is the result of these studies, and the book reaffirmed the need to build cities collectively and to place culture at its heart.
Oh, definitely. That's something I would be interested in reading. And what other projects are happening or are in the works now?
So one of the big next step, I would say, is that, you know, the launch of the Villa San Francisco has been such a success that we are looking at going, you know, nationwide. So that's going to be taking a lot of our time. And we are very excited that, you know, Villa San Francisco is already going to make babies. So I can't tell you much more of that, but
coming soon.
Yeah, exactly. You'll see other cities embracing the movement, I would say.
That sounds great. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit of what your day-to-day looks like. What is your role within Villa San Francisco?
Oh, so it's very busy.
Many hats.
I think, you know, I started working mostly on initially developing the mission of the Villa San Francisco, working on I come from a marketing background, so I worked a lot on, you know, creating the brand, creating the outlook on the future and the business plan for it. And then as a founding member, I think I'm kind of an ambassador ambassador a little bit for it, trying to raise money and find partners and get people excited around the project.
Yeah, well, I think you're definitely hitting all the marks.
Thank you.
And I wonder too, how does the audience react to this Villa San Francisco, your audience either locally or what you've heard globally? You must also meet a lot of Francophiles. What do people say when they realize that this is a Franco-American initiative? I mean, what's the relationship to France?
Well, the reception has been very positive, locally and internationally. We had, you know, tons of press coverage in, I mean, we were so happy to be featured in Le Monde, in the Financial Times, publication like Les Beaux-Arts, and also some local news. So they all recognize basically the need of this new platform of dialogue and cross-pollination. I think, you know, they understand that if everyone keeps on thinking in silos, we won't solve the crisis that our society is facing currently. So I think they recognize the strengths of the French diplomacy to gather people from multiple horizons around the same table. I think the local artistic communities are, of course, beyond excited to receive our support. And for the Francophile, I think they're very proud to see, you know, the positive impact of the French diplomacy where they choose to live. I think also that, you know, the French community love debating. Let's face it. I think it's in the French people gene to argue.
I agree.
We even call it a national sport. So I think they are happy to find a place, a new place to practice, I would say.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking about cultural diplomacy, I also stumbled across a few of your writings on artwork and art institutions. Following events like the death of George Floyd, you mentioned how most people turn to social media to express themselves. How have you seen the artists or the curators, museums express themselves to events like George Floyd to try to facilitate change or perspective?
So I think, you know, the artist community around the world have strongly reacted to the movement. And of course, we also saw the rise of Black Lives Matter giant murals and street art around the world. And some like the one, you know, painted directly on the Hollywood Boulevard will, I heard, remain permanent. So that's exciting. But what I found very interesting is that even the artists who never did murals before started to paint on those, you know, those cardboard that covered businesses in Oakland and New York. And they started using basically the boards at white canvases. So I think this is new. People just went, artists just went on the streets to express themselves from every genre and every horizon. So the good news is that there is a database of Black Lives Matter street art that has been created to make sure that it's not forgotten and can be used as resources for scholars and artists. I would say within the Villa San Francisco itself, we had a resident, Cheryl Dericotte, who decided to leverage her stay at the Villa to pursue her work about Thomas Jefferson and his positions on slavery and freedom. She says that Jefferson's affection for revolution was not extended to Black people. He was born into a slaveholding family. Over the course of his life, he owned about 600 people, and half of them were under the age of 16. He had six children with one of his slaves, Sally Hemings, who he never freed. And so these are things that I had no idea. I think that makes the work of Cheryl very important in that matter, because few know this information about Jefferson, and that it resonates with critics, which says that textbooks have been slow to incorporate Black humanity in their slavery narratives, and they still have a long way to go. So, you know, now regarding your question on the curator and museum, I've read that the Black Lives Matter movement helped shift the public opinion on the issues of restitution of artifacts belonging to African nations. And I think that's super positive. You know, France was one of the first to start returning artifacts to countries like Benin and Senegal in 2020. And I read that the movement the Black Lives Matter movement had speed up the restitution process. So now I think, you know, the public is going to watch when museums reopen their doors if to see if Black artists have a better presence within the museum's curations and shows. You know, I think throughout our human history, artists have been quite critical to influencing major art, political, and societal movements. We definitely need their perspective today more than ever, and we owe it to our generation to come. So, and I was speaking with one of our artists recently. Her name is Odémilie Judaïque, and she quoted a French author. His name is Stéphane Hessel, and she said, "Create is to resist, resist is to create." And I think that speaks to what is happening right now.
This is incredibly interesting, and I'm glad that spaces like the Villa San Francisco exist to have this kind of dialogue. Thank you so much, Melanie. It's been an absolute pleasure having you here and hearing about Villa San Francisco.
Thank you so much, Andrea, for the opportunity to speak with you.
As always, thank you for listening to Francophiles. If you've enjoyed this episode, subscribe and review us, and make sure to drop us a comment about what makes you a Francophile. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FrancophilesPod, and visit our website for more information. To indulge in more stories about French-American culture, check out our partner, France Amérique magazine. Stay tuned, Francophiles, and until next time, à bientôt!